Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, final hour here on a Football Friday. We will finish picking the wild card games that are not Commanders and Bucks when we actually pick Commanders and Bucks at the end of the show. Obviously, we got a little turned around there with Mike Mayock. Initially at 5:30, then went to 5:45. But that is that. What we are going to do now, though, is continue our preview of Commanders and Bucks. And we do that pick six style because it's Friday and that's what we do. And if Dan Quinn says, hey, we're just trying to keep the same routine, why wouldn't we keep the same routine?
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
Friday edition of the Pick Six goes like this. Who are the most important players to the outcome of the Commanders-Bucks game, or the Commanders game, in this case Commanders-Bucks, that aren't quarterbacks? That is how we roll on a Friday. Anthony, I believe you have the first pick this week. We pick three, we catch our breath, we pick three more. You are up first, sir.
Number one.
Number one, Mr. Craig Hoffman. This one might take you by surprise. Or maybe not. I'm going with Tyler Biadasz, man. I'm going with Tyler Biadasz. Again, I think he has done the best job amongst all our linemen in terms of navigating, like, who's blitzing. He's helped Jaden out. He's helped all the rest of the linemen out. And I think against a team like, you know, the Bucks, who loves to put pressure and send blitzes from everywhere, I think this guy has seen everything. He'll be able to, you know, help Jaden in the second go-round against the Bucks. Also, he's going to be tasked with going up against a Vita Vea, Kalaji Kansi. So he's going to have his hands full. I think dominating the trenches, you guys touched on it all throughout the show today, I think it's going to start with the communication up front, and that's going to be led by Tyler Biadasz.
That's a phenomenal pick, Anthony.
Thank you, sir.
That's the best pick you've ever made in this segment.
Good gracious.
There's so many angles to why Biadasz is central to their victory this weekend, and you just touched on pretty much all of them. One, who's coming? Because they definitely struggled with that in week one, and Jaden was able to make some chicken salad out of Stephen and chicken dung. And that's great, but we need better. And knowing who's coming and when it's coming and where it's coming from gives you a chance to at least slow it down enough to get that quick out to whoever, get the quick comeback route to Zach Ertz, to Alamide, to Jameson. Like, those guys all become really, 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 really important, and maybe we'll talk about them more. But then you just have the reality that you have two very, very different players that you're going to have to deal with inside. Vita Vea sometimes is going to be one-on-one pass rushing against Tyler Biadasz because he is a true nose that lines up as a true nose, but they also line him up as a shade, and so sometimes they'll be, you know, in the run game, you're going to have to double-team him, you're going to have to block him one-on-one, you have to do all that stuff. Kansi's the other really interesting one because I think there's opportunity with Kansi. I don't think the part of Take a Man we're playing includes this snippet, but this is why you should just listen to the whole hour-long preview. Find time tomorrow or Sunday. The game's not till Sunday night. Listen to the entirety of Take Command, but we'll give you a little bit coming up at 6:30. But Logan talked about how this dude's super quick, super fast, so you have to be on your P's and Q's. But he's not, like, he's an Aaron Donald starter kit, smaller, undersized, super quick from Pitt. But he's not the full Aaron Donald, because Aaron Donald was also the strongest guy on the field. Kalijah Kansey's not. He's 280 pounds, and you can push him around a little bit. And so I think there's opportunity to run right at Kalijah Kansey and bury him with double teams and get some movement along that line. And Biadasz is going to be a part of basically all of those double teams. So I think there's a ton of on Tyler Biadasz's plate, and he's not full strength. He's just not. He was a full participant today. That's great. He's going to play in the game. But how much, especially if also you want to pull him and get him out on the edge. He's been one of your best pullers this year. The play he got hurt on was a play where he got rolled up on pulling. So can he get out on the edge? I think there's so much to talk about with Tyler Biadasz. But we just did. So that was number one.
Number two.
I'm just going to go super obvious here. One of the big things I talked about earlier in the show is your stars have to play like stars. And so I'm going Terry. And there's a lot of ancillary pieces that have to go right to win a playoff game. But I think on a very baseline level, you have to set your stars up. Think about the Chiefs the last 3 years. How many bad games has Travis Kelce had in the playoffs? Basically none that I can remember. When they need him, he is there. And there are a ton of other examples of great players on the edges or running backs that have carried teams through playoff games. And sure, you might have an unsung hero, but often the big players are the ones that step up in the biggest moments. And this is not just on Terry to be the guy that we know he is. And my God, he was great in the last drive last week. Not only the game winner, but the two catches he made on the slant and the dig to get first downs when they needed it, that was so major, so big time. So think back to week one, Jaden barely looked his way. I don't think they realized what kind of weapon they had. Now they all know. Everybody in the building, everybody in Raymond James Stadium is going to know 17 is going to be involved. They move him around a lot more. That even increases on third downs. Like, it is hard to overstate how important he is to them. And not just from the production, but the energy he brings when he's involved. Get him involved early. Keep him involved the entire game. I would assign like a quality control coach to count every 10 snaps. And if Terry doesn't have a touch every like six snaps. If Terry doesn't have a play called for him every six snaps, that guy's job is to go tap Cliff on the shoulder and go, "Hey, Terry time." okay, cool. Got it. Like, it's got to be with a high level of consistency. Mess around, find out. Terry McLaurin, number two.
I love it, man. Hold on.
Number three.
Number three is to Craig Hoffman.
I love when you go, Mr. Craig Hoffman, the hands get rubbing. I know there's some good stuff coming. Let's go.
Here we go. I'm going with Jalen McMillan. And I'm going with him because I feel like all eyes are going to be on Marshawn and Mike Evans, and I think they're going to have a great duel. But this guy has sort of kind of flown under the radar, in my opinion, all week because this guy – in the last five games, he's had seven touchdowns. So he's been that other guy that Baker Mayfield has been spreading the ball around to. And it's going to be interesting to see who's matched up against him, whether it's going to be Mikey, whether it's going to be Noah Igbe. I'm not sure who's going to, you know, be tasked with dealing with him. But the fact that he has been super impactful as of late gives me reason to, you know, have some type of concern just because I feel like a lot of attention is going to be at Mike Evans. But this guy, we got to make sure we don't allow him to get off. And Mikey, he's played well this year. He won Pepsi Rookie of the Week this past week. So let's see if he can step up in this big moment and go out there and put on.
Mikey's a big-time player, and I do like him against a fellow rookie where it's not like some veteran know-how that might get him. But Jalen's a really good route runner. He's just a good player, and he's really come on in the last month or so. He had production earlier, but they've found ways to use him, and he's going to have some matchups probably with Noah, some with Mikey. And I think that's going to be definitely huge. I think the other thing, too, and we'll talk about this more as we go here, the ability to make plays off schedule, the plaster, and a guy like McMillan seems to have a pretty good feel for that based off where he's getting some of his catches. So it's in structure, it's out of structure, all these guys. Yeah, Evans is huge. Otten is great for them, but we'll see if he's going to play and just how healthy he is. He's a little banged up. We know about Evans and Lattimore, but McMillan is definitely a weapon. And so I think that's a great call. And I also think that the corners for Washington, we should probably talk about it from that end. Like, Mikey won Rookie of the Week because he had a couple of really big-time highlight-level plays. He also had some other plays that shouldn't go on the Rookie of the Week tape. And that's kind of who he's been, is when you throw at him, it can be a big chunk play or he might de-cleat your receiver. And over time, he's going to become more consistent because he's a rookie who's in his third year playing corner ever. He was a wide receiver when he got to Michigan. Meanwhile, Noah, oh my God, not a good month of December for Noah Igbinoghene. So can they get him in some tough spots? Can they get him on some bad matchups? Like, I think Marshawn probably follows Mike Evans to the slot because they're going to try to get Mike on Noah in the slot. And so, like, there's going to be some games played, some guys playing in some funky positions as they move Mike Evans around and Marshawn shadow. So there's a lot of communication that needs to happen too. And a guy like McMillan might be the type of guy that gets lost in the wash. Can't have that happen as it did in week one. When we get back, we will take a look at the other three players that we are going to select. Actually, we'll pick them. We don't even know who they are yet. Blanks on the sheet of paper. So the final three in our pick six next before you hear from Logan previewing this game coming up at 6:30. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa Chicken. How you want it at Wawa with customizable, crispy or roasty chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 6:30, you'll hear from Logan Paulson, his thoughts on how he would get Jaden Daniels ready for his first playoff game if he was Cliff Kingsbury facing this Tampa team. But we continue right now with our pick six at six. We pick the six most critical players, not named quarterback, so not named Jaden Daniels, not named Baker Mayfield, to the Commanders' success on Sunday, whether stopping them or getting them going. And that leads us to number four, Anthony.
Number four,
I'm going to take Bucky Irving, the Tampa Bay Bucks rookie running back. And it's not just stopping him as a running back. And it's interesting because earlier in the show, Trevor Sikkema said he sees Bucky Irving as a guy that is not necessarily like the big hitter. Like he'll burst through and get you 7-8 yards. And I actually don't know that I agree with Trevor on that. I look at him as more of the Saquon Barkley type, where if he's trying to get downhill and the run's muddy, he's not going to find a crease and, you know, fall forward for an extra 5 yards or whatever. He's not that kind of back. He is one that will look for a crease. His vision is fantastic. If there's a crease there, he's going to find it. And he is a big play guy. And the numbers seem to back that up. He's a guy who has a high EPA per rush, lower success rate. I think he's number four in the league in EPA per rush. Really, really impressive. But he's only 13th in success rate. So success rate is telling you how often you're consistently getting the yardage that you need based off of the success rate formula, which is basically, do you get on first and second down half the yardage remaining on third down? Do you get the first down? Same thing with fourth down. Versus EPA per play is like, oh, you scored a touchdown. That's a lot of points you just added to the board. EPA stands for estimated points added. You got a first down on a play on a second and 12 and you pick up 15. Like, that's a huge EPA boost. Like, he's a guy that will kill you on some of the bigger stuff and just finds ways to extend drives, things like that, or score. The other way he kills you, though, that we haven't talked about as much today is the screen game. And their screen game is the best in the league. They have the best statistics on screens of basically every single kind, advanced statistics, basic statistics, whatever. And the Commanders actually have been pretty good at stopping that. So that war of the screen game, Bucky Irving and, frankly, otherwise, Rashad White and the receivers and on down the list, that could be one of the big things for this game, because if you can shut down a screen and it's a minus two or an incomplete or even a two-yard gain and they're stuck in second and eight, they run it, Irving can't get anywhere, now it's third and long, like, okay, we can live on third and long. If it's third and two and the whole playbook's open, well, Tampa's real aggressive on third and short, let me tell you. It's a couple deep shots to Mike Evans in the first game on third and short. So I think it's going to be a really fascinating part of it. Obviously, the running game, the screen game, Bucky Irving's involved in it all. He is number four in our pick six at six.
Number five,
I've been going back and forth on who I want to go with.
Is that why we didn't get a full Mr. Craig Hoffman?
Nah, yeah, because I'm not.
There's a little indecision here.
Too much. I think I'm going to go with my guns. I think I'm going to go with John Allen. And in part, I feel like, as you guys have, you know, talked about and discussed all throughout the show today, the trenches are going to be very important. Who wins that battle up front is ultimately probably who's going to end up winning the game. So I just feel like John Allen, you know, he did have a sack last week. He's coming back from injury. He's the freshest of everybody on the defensive front. So I think his impact can be a little bit more just because he is a little bit more fresh than everybody else. And just as a leader, like who he is, if we're going to go out there, we're going to win games. We're going to need our best players to, you know, go out there and make plays. You already talked about Terry. I'm expecting Bobby to, you know, go out there and show off. He's been here before. John Allen, let's go out there. Let's make some plays.
I love this pick. John needs to, and Deron, and Johnny Newton, all of them. We talk about making the runs muddy for Bucky Irving.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy pal, please eat those blocks. Just, you need to take a knee and shove that double team. You cannot get washed out of your gap. And if he can get into those C-gap runs where he gets outside, like, those are big chunk plays for Bucky Irving. He's real good. So one, pass rush, and he had a couple pressures in week one where he doesn't finish, and like that can't happen. For everyone, finish the freaking pass rush. You've done the hard part. You've gotten to the quarterback. Bring him down. But Baker's very slippery, and he runs a lot more this year, and he's running better than he ever has. But also, in the run game, making sure that you are really disciplined. So it ultimately comes down to something we've been talking about with John Allen and Deron Payne since they were paired up with Montez Sweat and Chase Young, and it's gap discipline. Pass rusher, run, like, it's not sexy, but neither is D-line play. Do your job, do it well, and you can have a good day. You get washed, you get beat, or you try to jump and make a play, then it could be a long day at the office of a lot of hands on hips as Bucky Irving runs down the field and you're watching from the backfield. Last but not least,
number six.
I'm going to go with a man who was mysteriously missing last week at first, and then we heard what happened. He was sick. Quan Martin. Quan is so important to what they do. He is one of the turnover drivers, which is enormous for this defense. Can he get a pick? Can he force a fumble? He gets in these piles late and he punches at the ball. Like, whether it's a receiver or a running back, that stuff's super important. If we're talking about runs that out to the perimeter, your safeties have to get there, and they have to get there quickly. That's really important. Also, as a pass, defender, I think there were some times last week where Percy Butler's, I don't want to say necessarily even inexperience, but inexperience and or rust showed, where like Noah Igbinoghene gets beat. It's on Noah. He's the primary culprit here. But if you see that as a free safety, do you latch on to that crossing route and realize my corner's toast? That's where the ball's going, and I got to get there now. And maybe you get there fast enough to knock the ball out, but at the very least, you turn a huge mistake into an 18-yard gain instead of a catch-and-run 35-yard gain. That kind of stuff, where Quan Martin's recognition, if stuff does go wrong underneath and a guy gets loose, is huge. He's a missile on screens. Like, he's the guy that man-to-man is probably going to cover Bucky Irving if he splits out wide. It might cover Bucky Irving in man-to-man situations anyway. He'll probably be covering Rashad White in man-to-man situations. He could be covering Cade Otton in man-to-man situations, although that typically the tight ends goes to Jeremy Chin's side of things. But there's just so many ways in which Quan Martin is a huge player for them. And because he's a guy that they rely on to help force turnovers, I'm going to put the spotlight on him this week. And again, whether it's hey, we're throwing deep on to Mike Evans, or we're throwing deep to Jalen McMillan, like, can you patrol center field? Or can you get underneath and jump around? Because here, that's the last thing I'll say. Baker will throw it. If he thinks he sees a window, that dude will jam a football in there. Go catch it. Go catch it. Quan Martin's a guy who can drive on it. He sees the field well. Quan Martin wraps up our pick six at six. We still have to pick this game. We'll do that coming up before the end of the show. We'll also make sure we have all our picks on record for the rest of Wildcard Weekend. Up next, though, how does Jaden Daniels attack this Buccaneers defense with the help of Terry McLaurin and friends? Logan Paulson gives his take as a Take Command preview takes us towards the top of the hour, 7 o'clock, when we wrap here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. At the Team 980 on YouTube, one of the places you can get the full episodes of Take Command. We previewed Commanders and Bucks for just over an hour. So full, just like concentrated mega football breakdown. We'll give you about 15 minutes here of Jaden Daniels and how he and the offense attack this Tampa defense. But if you want the full episode, definitely check it out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. But right now, me, Logan, talking ball with you here on the Team 980. Take command, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. And Jaden Daniels in week one against the Tampa Bay Bucs was making his first career start. He ran around in some ways like chicken with his head cut off, trying to find plays. And he had a nice little day on the ground, but was certainly not enough to get the win. And I think now we look back at that game, Logan, and go, wow, that was really uncharacteristic of Jaden Daniels. Obviously, he's still arguably the best scrambler in football, had the best scrambling statistics of any quarterback in football. But he's so much more calm and collected in the pocket. He sees the field so much better than week one. When you look back at that week one performance against Tampa and think about what you'd be telling Jaden if you are Cliff, if you're Tavita Pritchard, if you're on that staff, you're Brian Johnson this week, like, are you just kind of chuckle at how far he's come in this rookie season?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's one thing when I was watching the first game, I'm like, this really is not, it's not transferable. It's not like Cliff's offense, and that's nobody's fault. It's Jaden Daniels' first game, and I think he had like a fine game. But like we talked about when we reviewed the Tampa Bay game, there's throws that he makes with such confidence now, right, and such dexterity now that he just didn't attempt. You know, he was just like, I don't love it. I'm going to scramble. And I get that. And I understand in your first game being, and I think this is also to Jaden's credit, like one of the things that's made you awesome this year is how you protect the football. And he was very protective of the football that game. But I do think you see, like, you know, I had to do a breakdown for Command Center about the difference between that game and this game. And one of the things is like, you go through Jaden's season this year and you're watching all the throws and you're like, he's made throws that he's turned down 20 times this year. Like there's a 5-yard out, which he turns down because he doesn't like the DB position. If you watch the Philly game, he makes like three of those. And then you watch New Orleans, he makes two of them. And you're like, that's 5 yards on an easy completion to Terry and we're doing all right, you know? And so again, like I think he elevated big time in terms of how he scrambled, but I also think he's just matured so much as a passer. And it's not like he's throwing the ball better. He just understands NFL windows better. And like that was something that we talked about week one. It's like, is he going to do this? And he's emphatically done it. And I think when you watch him versus like the New Orleans game, when you watch the Philly game, like he just has so many different ways to beat you now. Like he can run, obviously, but as a passer, the different types of throws, the different arm angles, the different layerings and touches we've seen it all this year. And so obviously he's had days where he's been off, but if he's on and if he's ready to go, like he's become like a problem a little bit, you know, to deal with, obviously, like because of the decision making about when to run, when to throw, when to be aggressive, and just his natural playmaking kind of intuition is something that shows up big time. And it's something that's developed. And I kind of cite the Cincinnati game as kind of the genesis of that. But you see mm-hmm. that just continue to develop over the course of the year. So when you look at him specifically, you're kind of like, this is the most bare bones, rudimentary version of you as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. And to his credit, each and every week, and we've talked about this each and every week, has just grown. And so
yeah,
the player now and the player then are completely different to my eye. And I really am excited to see what this looks like, because I do think Tampa Bay is going to do some interesting stuff to him, but I think he's more ready for it now.
For sure. And he's gone from a guy that's like, oh, this is at the very least going to be fun watching him run around this year, and we'll see where it goes long term, to a guy that's probably going to finish top five in MVP voting. He's fourth in the NFL in EPA. Like he's a legitimate, you know, I kind of chuckle when you were like, he's kind of become a problem. It's like, yeah, I think he's more than kind of become a problem. Right. Like he's become a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the NFL as a rookie. And now, you know, we'll see long term if that holds. You know, CJ Stroud, obviously last year, you know, we can flash that up as the warning sign that just because you did it as a rookie doesn't mean that it means you've made it forever. But I think we also trust Jaden to do the work to probably make it stick. Right. But that's a different discussion for a different time.
You this shoot, week like, specifically, on that point, like we trust Jaden, we trust Adam, we trust the staff, you know, in a way that is really unique. 100%. But yeah, go ahead. I had to get that.
Yeah, no, 100%. We trust the infrastructure as well as the player, which is exactly what you want. That's why he was the guy selected where he was, and it's why he's been able to grow as much as he has. I mean, Stroud came in as I think, a more developed passer than we realized coming out of Ohio State. And he just rode that. And he certainly got better, but he came in on fire. Watching Jaden evolve has been terrifically fun. And I think one of the things that he has learned is, again, that NFL Open. And that also, there's NFL Open and there's Terry McLaurin Open. Terry is the best contested catcher in the league statistically in terms of yardage, touchdowns, the whole deal. He does more when he is not open than anyone else in football. From that week three, really, on against Cincinnati, all the way through last week, where we were just talking, before we got started here, about some of the plays he made in the final drive for Marcus last week. Yeah. Just unbelievable contested catches in tight windows, taking hits, coming in fearless. And really, weeks one and two, it felt like Cliff, and to an extent, Jaden, but I think even more so Cliff, didn't quite realize what he had in Terry. And by week three, it was kind of like, hey, man, let's get 17 the ball. And he explodes against Cincinnati. Biggest play, you know, Jaden's first signature play, that touchdown down the right side to seal it. And from there, Terry's on to another 1,000-yard season and ultimately the team TD record that he seals last week against the Cowboys. And I think getting Terry way more involved is one of the ways this game is going to look the most different compared to week one, where he had, you know, two catches for 17 yards. Now, Jamel Dean's a good corner. He hasn't been playing in a couple weeks. He should be back this week. He actually covered Terry on 18 of his 23 routes in week one. He was only targeted once in those routes. But I think Jamel Dean, if you're on Terry for 78% of the time in this game, prepare for a lot more action, sir.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think you just look at think about that relationship and how it's developed. Like, I think back to, you know, the second Philly game where he's getting the explosive play over the top, the Pittsburgh game, explosive play over the top, the Cleveland game, explosive play over the top. Like, I mean, dude's a maniac this year. That relationship and what it's done for the offense has just been so prolific, and their ability to kind of make these big moments, like Terry on a slant on third and short. Like, and I think, to your point, Cliff's understanding that is a big time player in this offense. Let's start moving around, and then you see his production continue to develop. And I forget which game it was, but he had like eight catches for like 80 yards, you know, and it wasn't like this big explosive play, but he's able to kind of just first down here, hitch here, contested catch there. And like, he can do it both ways, which I think is great. And so I do think that relationship, I think the emergence of guys like OZ, the guys like Jamison Crowder, like kind of to supplement Terry, are also big. And again, like we've talked about, you know, they have their strengths and Terry has his strengths. But I think the other thing, you know, we talked about trusting Adam and Dan and Jaden. Like, I trust Cliff because he just understands, like, versus certain coverage, versus certain matchups, like, this is where we want to work with the football. And I don't know if that's Tavita, Cliff, probably a combination of everybody working together to be like, hey, like, look at, like, this is what the coverage is supposed to do. This is the matchup we like, this is who we're going to put there. Let's make it go. And I just think you just see not only a maturation from Jaden, but a maturation just from the offense in terms of finding what guys do well and helping maximize them. So I think this is going to be, again, the Terry thing is huge, because I think, like, look at, we talk about this all the time, like, the number one of the many drivers of offensive success is explosive plays. And Terry's been an explosive play machine for this offense kind of down the stretch. So I think that's going to be a huge deal. I think, again, Jaden's development, the emergence of some of these playmakers, Zach Ertz, I felt like there was a couple times in the first game where Zach was open. There was opportunities for him on routes and Jaden's turning that down. So I just think there's so much more here for the offense based on that first matchup. Like, you're just like, man, if you just hit the stuff that's there as opposed to run around. And again, the scrambles were super efficient and super effective, but like, it's going to be so much more dynamic. And I'm kind of curious to see what Tampa Bay does to counter the new Commanders, if you will. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to play this? And I think that's going to be a really compelling story.
Well, the Buccaneers are on some level a different team as well, although the week one version of them has resembled the weeks 11 through 18 version of them more than almost any other game in their first pre-bye stint. So after their bye in week 11, the Buccaneers became the blitz happiest team in the NFL, blitzing on 48%. Yeah, 48, almost one out of every two pass attempts, which is just a crazy number. That said, they blitzed Jaden 47% in week one. So that's kind of how they played in week one. I'm sure that you'd have to go into detail, and this would be the time if they're doing it the same way that they, you know, the blitz packages that they deployed in week one. Is that what they're doing now? And by the way, it's not just that they're doing it, and it's kind of, you know, I think of like Wink Martindale, where it's like, yeah, he was blitzing all the time with the Giants, but it wasn't really working that much. You'd have weeks where it was, you know, you have eight sacks, but a lot of times you're just giving up 400 yards because your guys are exposed on the back end all the time. No. The Bucs, they lead the league in unblocked pressures. They are converting them into sacks at a pretty high rate. Like, they are doing the damn thing when it comes to their pressure package. So, led by Yaya Diaby, what are you seeing from this Buccaneers pressure package that is similar to what we saw against Washington in week one? And maybe what are some other things that Joe and Bobby Johnson and the offensive line crew are going to have to deal with this week?
Yeah, I think that's the thing to me. Is just like, I went back and watched all their pressures, which is a lot, because like you said, they blitz a lot. And
yeah, so you watch half, like, their defensive snaps.
Yeah, you're just like, God. And I think the crazy thing is, like, obviously they bring like run blitzes on first down, which are problematic. But I think the third down stuff is where you're like, yikes, this is a lot. You know, like, they just have, you know, like, they have, like, for example, I think I maybe talked about this already, but they have like the six guys up on the line of scrimmage, you know, kind of in their blitz package. Like, we run, the Commanders run something similar. There's two guys standing up. There's four defensive linemen. Just in that front, I could probably cite probably 6 to 8 variations of pressure patterns that they brought just out of that one front. So it's not like like, there's something, like, when you're in a blitz meeting, for example, and it's usually on Thursday, like back when I was playing, and they'd be like, this is our third down blitz meeting. Let's go through the pressures. See where this guy lines up. See how he's kind of outside this player here. Like, they're going to bring this pattern. And you just kind of go through and you're like, okay, like, they're all here. With this, like, I kind of went through it and was like, is there a tell? And I know the coaches are going to be locked in. They're going to find a tell. But because there's so much variation off the same look, kind of like the offense with Liam Cohen, how they have kind of the same stuff off the same formation, same personnel. It's the same thing with the defense here. And you're like, what are the tells? So I would just say, like, Johnson, the offensive line coach, has got to earn his paycheck this week in terms of finding consistent tells to help make sure you get those pressure packages targeted correctly, because it's going to be tough, man. If you're in third and long a lot in this game, it's going to be really, really tough to kind of manage those pressure packages. And the other thing I wanted to point out too is, in the first matchup, I felt like Tampa Bay was kind of figuring itself out. Like, Yaya Diaby, who I think has had a really good year, is like taking inside moves on Wiley all the time and losing contain in the pocket. And Jaden just kind of steps around it, and then there's no contain player and scrambles up the field. So I would think, if I'm the defensive coordinator, if I'm Bowles for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm like, guys, we're going to bring our pressure. We're going to do what we do. We have to be consistent with our rush lanes. When you look at the teams that have been most effective versus Jaden Daniels, Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles in the first matchup, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they were dogmatic about their rush lanes and their rush lane consistency. We will get free runners. We will get free runners like Dallas did, because I trust my blitz scheme, but you guys have to keep them in the pocket. If they do both of those things, Jaden Daniels is they're not going to let him win with his legs. If they can corral him the way we're talking about, because they have guys that rush in a way that's problematic for Jaden. Yaya Diaby is kind of a power rusher. The other outside linebacker, Anthony Nelson, excuse me, I'm thinking of a different player, but they compress the pocket as rushers. Vita Vea compresses the pocket as a rusher. And then when you add that compression element to free runners off the blitz, it becomes hard. That's where Jaden Daniels struggles a little bit. So what's the answer from a protection standpoint? What are the answers from a route standpoint? And then Jaden Daniels, can you elevate us the way you've done all year? I think is going to be a big question on third down specifically.
So Diaby this year, 57 pressures, 13 run stuffs. That is just one of 8 edge players to record 50-plus pressures, 10-plus run stuffs.
He's a beast.
Yeah, Miles Garrett, Jared Verse, Jonathan Grenard, Brian Burns, Greg Rousseau, Will Anderson, Max Crosby. So he is in pretty good company in terms of guys that really starred on the edge. Some of them, guys like Garrett and Crosby, obviously longtime standouts, and plenty of others. You know, Will Anderson, one of the best young guys in the league. Rousseau was a monster this year for Buffalo. So really good company that Yaya Diaby is in. All right, that is how Jaden and company can get it going against Tampa. We'll see if they can do it Sunday night. We will be live post-game. Yeah, it's going to be a late one, but we're going to do it. I'll be live on YouTube at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman, 106.7 The Fan's page as well for a Take Command instant reaction show. So join us there, or if you're like, I got work on Monday. I can't do the live thing on YouTube. That's okay. It'll be in your podcast feed on Monday morning by the time that you wake up. When we get back, it's time. I've dreaded this moment all week. We're going to pick the game next. Oh, yeah, we're looking forward to the weekend because this weekend the Commanders play playoff football. We pick that game in the next 5 minutes, and then we get out of here. We're done. We're done working for the week. Doesn't mean we're not going to work on the weekend. Again, we'll be live for Take Command postgame at 11:30 at night. But, hey, it's what the people want. Some playoffs got to work overtime, Anthony. Sometimes it be like that. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll through all of the playoff games. We're going to pick them all, and that includes, obviously, the Commanders and the Bucks. So let's start off. We actually did pick this one earlier in the show, so we're not going to spend a ton of time doing any of these games outside of Commanders and Bucks, but we did pick Chargers and Texans, Anthony, to review. 1, 2, 3.
Chargers.
Okay. Saturday night, Ravens and Steelers. Nosey Flowers scares me, but I'm taking Baltimore. I don't think we officially picked that one earlier in the show. Anthony, who you got?
I'm going with Baltimore as well, Craig.
All right. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Denver is at Buffalo. Josh Allen coming off being named second-team All-Pro. Lamar beat him out for first-team. We'll see what that means for the MVP race as well. Coming up here in the next – well, I guess we don't find out that one until Super Bowl weekend, but the awards starting to trickle in, obviously. The All-Pros announced today. I think this is a really interesting matchup for a lot of teams in the league. Like, the ability to just shut off their number one wide receiver is a huge deal, and that's why Pat Surtain and that Denver defense is amazing. It doesn't really matter against Buffalo because the receivers are all kind of even. So shutting down one guy, okay, there's an equally talented guy over there, and Josh Allen's the guy who is the engine that makes it go. It's a big number. It's like 9.5, but we're not picking this against the spread, just for reference there. But I'm taking Buffalo to win this one.
For some reason, I really want to go with the Broncos, Craig.
Probably because they won 38-0 last week.
But I'm going to go with the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills, man.
Man, I would love for you to pick Denver to get waxed, and then I would just let Will Dawkins come and do the show on Monday.
See, that wouldn't even be a good feeling, man.
Not for you.
Not for me, of course not.
No one told you to pick the Broncos. But who knows? Maybe. Eagles are going to have Jalen Hurts back as they take on the Packers. So we got Philly, we got Green Bay. It's a matchup, a rematch of Week One. That game was played in Brazil. This game will be played in the Illadelph at Lincoln Financial Field. I will take the home team. It's a chalky weekend for the most part. Give me the Eagles.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with the Eagles as well.
The Packers vibes are off, bro.
Yeah, they got injuries, banged up.
I also don't like the fact they can't take the top off defense because Watson's out.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Skipping ahead, Monday night, the Rams are no. I mean, they're still hosting this game against the Vikings, but it will be played in Arizona due to the wildfires in LA. Good decision by the NFL to move this. Not just because the danger of the fires, but every emergency personnel and like all the people that staff an NFL game, they got bigger things that they're worried about right now. So good job by the NFL to be decisive and move this and not try to squeeze it in. It does suck, obviously, for the city. But they got bigger things that they're dealing with right now. As for the game itself, Minnesota is a slighter favorite than I think you would think. It's just a 1-point line here. I do think the Vikings are just the better team, though. I'm going to take Minnesota here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings as well. I'm hoping, though, that the Rams offense really is clicking at an all-time high. That's what I'm hoping.
You want to see the upset.
I do.
Okay. You want
to see the Broncos win, too. I'm rooting for a lot of upsets.
Well, now we get to the last of the potential upsets. We rewind Sunday Night Football. Commanders and Buccaneers. I have not felt good about this all week, Anthony. And I don't really feel that good about it right now. I just think that the Buccaneers are a very, very solid football team. And I think them getting Antoine Winfield back is enormous for them. But I'm not going to bet against five. I don't have a good football reason other than Commanders got five, and five's really good. Give me five. I got five on it. I got the Commanders.
Hey, look, in five, I trust. Also, Marshawn Lattimore being on our team helps a lot. I'm going with the Commanders, 31-27. Upset, Sunday Night Football. And, dang, what's the state? James something.
Raymond James Stadium. You really
Raymond James up. Stadium, Sunday night, baby.
Anthony, how long till the show's over?
Exactly 1 minute.
Okay, I was scared that you're going to be like, 2 seconds. All right, we don't have time for real things, which is a damn shame, because there's a really funny Snoop Dogg bite. It's making the rounds. It's from the Kelly Clarkson show. He explains about where the name Snoop came from. You should watch it. You can find that on your local Instagram feed. Here's what I'll say about this game. Not only is five critical, obviously, to the success, but I think it's worth pointing out, like, the quarterback on the other side's been sensational this year. One of the greatest touchdown seasons ever by a quarterback. He's got 41. So this is a really dangerous Tampa team. And if you beat them, doesn't matter what happens the rest of the playoffs, that is one hell of an accomplishment. And frankly, getting this far, considering the context of this season, is one hell of an accomplishment. But the Commanders can win this game. Sunday, we'll find out if they do. See you afterwards for Take Command. We'll be back here on Monday to react. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980.